Hello and welcome back to part two of the making of DTA. This one will cover post-production, so there's no need to look at the film. And just remind those that forget part one, because it was a couple months ago, back in August 2011, I made a short film called DTA, and this will cover the trouble and all the hassle of editing and everything that came after it. If you haven't seen the film, please go to YouTube and type in DTA short Irish film, and then go to the Facebook page and listen to part one, DTA the Making of Part One podcast. And if you have done all that, thanks and welcome back. This is part two, and just to recap, we finished like 2 days of shooting in August 2011. Things didn't go up great. You can check part one to recall the horrors of trying to get it made, but it got made in the end, but I was a bit dejected afterwards. And just to start this off, the film was shot on high definition mini DV tapes. Now, I didn't realise how difficult it was going to be to get these things edited. I actually never foresaw the challenges that I was going to face with editing this thing. So straight off the bat, I don't have the facilities to transfer mini DV tapes. I don't have the equipment, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the money. So, you know, during this whole process, people just have to say, why didn't you just edit it yourself? No, I couldn't just fucking edit it myself, because I would have done that 2 fucking years ago and saved myself a bunch of headaches. I had no way of transferring the footage or editing the footage. I didn't have the equipment, I didn't have the money to get it done. And I also wanted somebody with editing experience to do it, because, frankly, it was a mess of a movie. And I knew they needed somebody with some experience, with some clue what they're doing, and somebody editing for the first time. And it would have cost me maybe €1,000, €2,000 to get the equipment, to get everything going, to get everything set up, which is just money I don't have. Money I don't have to spend on 10 minutes short film. So, just get that out of the way. If anybody's listening, why didn't you just edit it yourself? Because that's all I heard. Why didn't you just edit it yourself? I'll fucking punch the next person who said that to me. It's just the most annoying thing. If I could edit myself, do you think I'm just sitting there with the fucking tapes like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe I should just edit it myself? I fucking couldn't, period. And so, but it was very weird. I had a friend who I gave a couple of the mini DV tapes to, and he told me he had a friend who could convert some of them onto DVD, because I couldn't even watch back the footage. I had no way of playing back the footage, because I rented the camera out and I had to give it back to Filmbase. So I couldn't even watch back the footage. But it was very weird. He was like, yeah, he'll only do a couple of tapes because he really hates doing it. So it's a big favor, so you're not going to get the whole thing. I was like, okay. So I picked a couple of the important scenes and gave them the tapes, and they got transferred to DVD. And I watched the DVD, and you know, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. And like I said, it could be salvaged. And you know, the acting was terrible in it, but that was to be expected from our two brilliant actors. Who, by the way, I thought Dara did a very good job, but apparently he didn't. And so we'll get to that later. And so I kind of looked at the footage, but I must say, like, a couple of people were a bit discouraged by the footage and kind of thought, like, I should just forget about it, because they in their eyes the footage looks so bad, I should just forget about it. But I don't know, I thought that was a bit not really the way to do it. But that was kind of going into September 2011. So August 2011, we finished the shoot. I kind of got the footage back around that time, August, September 2011. And I really didn't know where to go, what to do with the footage. I didn't know who to go to. And I was kind of by myself. I had no advice from the guidance. And I was just going on the internet and doing stuff and checking websites and trying to get the editor and thinking about like how much it would cost and all this kind of stuff. And it was a lot of big money. And, you know, people really weren't willing to do it for free and stuff, and which is understandable. And it was tough. And then I had a personal situation around about Halloween that was really bad. And I was just very, like, I didn't want to do anything for about, like, Halloween till December. I just, you know, the movie was the last thing I gave a damn about. I didn't give a damn about anything. It was a very hard time in my life. So then January 2012, I tried to be, like, you know, I'll try to get over it, try to be more positive. And I was like, I'm going to finish the film, I'm going to get it done. I also started a relationship around that time. And so I went on the internet again, and I found this guy called Chris, and he lived in Dundalkin, and he agreed to edit the film for free, and he was very excited to do so because he was doing a film course and stuff like this. And I was excited somebody was willing to work for free, and he seemed the business, and he had no problem transferring the tapes and yada yada yada. So I drove about 2 hours from his house to his house with the tapes, and we spent the day going over everything and talking about what the film was and script and how I wanted to edit it and blah 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 and all that kind of stuff. And I told him that, you know, it's gonna be a bit of a challenge, and he was like, he's really excited, and spent the whole day talking and going over it, and I was really excited, I was really pumped. And he said to me, look, you know, I work and I got things going on, and I'm just in this college course part time about films, but it'll be a slow process. And I know editing's very long and difficult, and I knew he was doing me a favor and it was free. And I was like, take your time, you know, we're not in any rush, you know, however long it takes. All I want at the end is just for the film to be, you know, finished and done and look halfway decent. And he was like, cool. And so what would happen would be every couple of weeks, you know, I would text him or send a message, and he'd be kind of like, yeah, I got a little bit more done and we're getting there. And I was like, cool. And like I said, I was in a relationship at this time and I had other things going on and I was busy. And I kind of, like, in my mind, how I felt, what I wanted was for him to, you know, edit the movie, for me to go watch it, for me to give my notes on it, and then we would have the final cut of the movie. Now, again, people with their, like, big mouths and their opinions are like, oh, you should have been there the whole time watching him and stuff. Like, the guy lived 2 fucking hours away and he was doing this in his spare time. Like, there's, you know, there's, I work full time, I have things going on, he has things going on. There's no conceivable way for me, like, if he had an hour spare, for me to drive all the way up there and sit there and watch him edit the film. And also, a lot of times, you know, people, I don't know, I'm not sound arrogant, but when the raw footage came back, a lot of people just looked at him and went, oh shit. Because you never see raw footage. You know, when you see a film, you see a TV show, it's edited, it's perfect, you know, it's done to perfection by professional people. You don't see the raw footage. I would say a lot of raw footage looks bad, or, you know, looks not great, you know, and that needs to be edited and spliced together. That's, you know, that's the magic of film and TV, if you will. So, just to, and then also kind of my people say, like, oh, you should have been there the whole time during the editing. Well, no, a lot of stuff is edited separate, you know, and then the person, the director, whatever, will come in and look at it and go, oh, I like this, I like that, oh, what about this bit, and cut around. So it's not that unusual. But again, just something you have to hear from other people around their mouths, don't know what they're talking about. So this is kind of going on a few months, and, you know, like, I'm texting and messaging him, and maybe about a month goes by without hearing anything from him. I'm going to get worried. I start calling him and he doesn't answer the phone. I'm like, oh God, what happens if he's disappeared my footage? Well, I don't really know this guy. Like, I only have his name, his number, and I can't really remember where he lives. And just got freaked out. And maybe about 4 or 5 months, you know, into the whole thing, and maybe about a month without hearing from him, he rings me. Well, I ring him, he doesn't answer, and then he rings me back. And he rings me, he's like, look, I gotta be honest with you, I don't really have that much done in the film, but just been a lot of things going on and I'm just busy. And I was like, look, I understand you're doing this for free, understanding other things going on. There was never any pressure put on him, you know. I was always kind of like, you get this done in your own time, I'm not going to be mad at you whenever you get done. And he's like, yeah, no, I promise you I'm going to finish it now, I'm going to have rough cut really soon, and you can come up and look at it, and we should have this finished soon. I was like, oh cool man, that's great, you know, let me know. So a couple of weeks go by and, you know, I'm sending a message, not really hearing anything, and I'm beginning to worry again. And maybe about 5 or 6 months into, so this was like January 2012, so this would have been maybe May, April, around that time maybe. May around that time, you know, I get a text from him saying, I've basically done nothing with your footage the whole time, it's sat here in a box. He made some excuse about something, I don't even remember what it was, and he was just a lying sack of shit. And so I just got him back to post back my footage the next day, and I mean, I don't really understand what he was doing, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why you got out of that. I don't understand how you can lie to somebody for 5 months and say, like, you're working on this when you're not. And why you couldn't turn around to that person and say, look, I'm just too busy at the minute, I'm really sorry, but here's the footage back, maybe you can get somebody else, or, you know, maybe why couldn't he put me on to somebody else? It's a very weird situation. And, you know, I never talked to him again, and he just made lame excuses, and he just seemed to be, like, a dickhead. You kind of find that a lot. So this is about May time, and I'd broken off with the girl, and, you know, I kind of had other things. Then I started dating another girl, and I had some other things going on and personal things, and again the movie kind of fell by the wayside because I was so dejected after that. Like, I felt like, ah, and I also didn't know where to go to again, because I met this guy on the internet. It's like, well, I can't really put another ad up on the internet after this kind of like thing. It's obviously gone horribly wrong. And around this time is when we're going to get into conversation about the Offaly Film Board. For those who don't know, we do have an Offaly Film Board here in Tullamore County, Offaly, where I live. And the true story, when the Offaly Film Board was going to be first set up, they wanted to come up with the name Biffle. Now, for those who don't know, Biffle is a derogatory term for people from Offaly. It stands for Big Ignorant Fucker from Offaly. They thought they were being hilarious by calling their film council, the Offaly Film Council of Ireland, they were going to call it Biffle, Big Independent Films from Offaly. They thought this was a genius idea. They're going to reclaim the name Biffle, and this is going to be taken seriously by other people, like, around the country and around the world. You know, can you imagine? So it's Biffo Film Company on the line. It's just ridiculous. It's the stupidest fucking thing I ever heard of. Thankfully, somebody got a bit of sense and just called themselves the Offaly Film Board, because that's what you should call yourselves, sensibly. And to kind of sidetrack from this, they had, for the past 3 years at this stage, about 2012, for about 2 years, it was about 3 or 4 years now, ran this competition where they give away €10,000. It's supposed to help somebody make their first short film. It's supposed to help local talent. It's supposed to help, you know, Offaly filmmakers and stuff like that. And you get a discount film deck. And it's there to help promote, you know, up and coming, you know, talent. And it's a free competition. Well, the first year they did it, Brendan Gleeson's son won it. So yeah, he's really from Offaly. And guess what? His father, Brendan Gleeson, was in the film. Wow, isn't that just a coincidence? And if you go to the Offaly Film Board website, they have a big picture of Brendan Gleeson. Oh, that's weird. It's weird how he won that thing. And, you know, to be fair in the rules, at this stage, you don't have to be from Offaly to win the money, but you would kind of think that you would want to support local filmmakers and local people, and that would be the kind of whole entire point of the Offaly Film Board. I don't know. It would kind of seem to make sense. And the next year, a Donald company won it, and the year after that, I think, I don't think any Offaly people have won it, as far as I'm aware. And from what I also understand, the people who won it last year are now struggling. They're on Kickstarter, they're on those crowdfunding sites trying to get funding made. Because €10,000, you know, it depends. The movie they're trying to make, it's a very simple movie, it's Boy Meets Girl. You know, I don't know where they're spending the money on. That's their business, you know, I don't know. But DTA is a 10-minute short film, it looks alright, acting could be better, could be directed better. But, you know, it's well edited, and it was shot on a professional camera. It costs less than, you know, it costs around €500, somewhere around that mark. So, you know, you just kind of wonder with these things, where does the money go and stuff like this, what people are doing. They also got like 50% discount on Filmbase, but that's another story. So getting back to around about maybe May or June of 2012, I'm dejected, I don't know where to turn to. In desperation, I emailed the Offaly Film Board thinking, thinking, hey, maybe they can help me out. I'm from Offaly, I'm trying to make films, this makes sense. And I would imagine they get a lot of, you know, people sending in strips and ideas for money and stuff like that. And I can understand their reluctance to get involved with those people, because, you know, if you get the money, you may never see it again, or they may not know what they're doing, it could be a disaster. But here's somebody, you know, I'd shot all the movie, it was shot, the tapes were there, and I just needed some way of getting them out of it. And, you know, maybe they could give me funding, maybe they could give me support, maybe they could do something. So I sent them a message, you know, saying blah, 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 and all that kind of type of thing, you know, what had gone on, I have the film shot, and I just need help getting out of it. I got, you know, a nice email back saying, basically, we only have €10,000 a year for the competition. We can't, you know, offer you any funding support. But here's the numbers of a couple of local professional editors. And if you're lucky, they might do it for free. I don't know. I mean, it just seems kind of weird. And for those that also don't know, every year the Offaly Film Board send 2 people over to the Cannes Films Festival. Now, their flights are paid, their hotels are paid. They obviously get money to, you know, buy food and stuff like that. And the idea of the Offaly Film Board going to Cannes Film Festival is to hobnob with all the big name directors and try to get some of them to come over here and shoot a film. So far that hasn't happened, and I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years since the since the birth of the Offaly Film Board. And needless to say, Martin Scorsese has not come over to direct Gangs of Telemore or Taxi Driver 2 set in the Midlands. And you kind of think maybe we should take that money you're, you know, sending people to Cannes, and maybe we should, you know, maybe invest that in local talent. And also they have an office in the council, and they have secretaries, and they have 2 or 3 people working in the department who are on, you know, full wages, and they're on pensions and everything, and they get paid. And you kind of think, well, what have they done for the local area? And, you know, maybe they have, and maybe I'm being unfair here, but it feels like a frustration, not just for me, but from a lot of other people in the local filmmaking area. I feel like it just doesn't seem to be going into talent. I won't say the person's name, but there was somebody who made a short film, no help, no support from the Offaly Film Board. Short film started doing really well in the festivals, it became a big success in the short film circuit, and they jumped on board. They were like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. This person kind of let them get involved and get their name kind of in on it, because he was hoping that when he went for his next project, he would get help from them. For the next project, didn't get any help from them. So it just seems kind of weird, you know. Maybe they're not allocating the money the right way, is what I'm basically trying to say. So I get the numbers of these editors and stuff like this. And again, you know, I have to email these people. I don't know them. They don't know me. And it's a bit weird. And I know it might have been nice if the Offaly Film Board could kind of be the middle person there, or maybe kind of, you know, sit up the meeting or give, you know, give me some help. But I guess not. Anyway, so one of the guy never messaged me back. The other editor, you know, I feel really bad, but I've forgotten his name. I don't really want to say his name in case he's, you know, doesn't want to be involved in this or whatever. But he was a professional editor, and he very kindly, you know, I came to his house and I came with all my tapes. And he kind of talked a bit about, like, you know, he does film courses and he works with a lot of first-time directors and all this kind of stuff. And I had all my tapes there. And, you know, he was like, so there's probably about, like, an hour or 2 hours of footage here. And I was like, there's probably about 3 or 4 hours. And he was like, why do you have 3 or 4 hours of footage? Because we overshot. You're not knowing any better, because I never thought editing was going to be such a big deal. And he was like, he didn't believe me. He was like, no, you don't have 3 or 4 hours. You only have an hour or two. You just think you do. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure 3 or 4 hours. But anyway, and he was just kind of saying to me, like, he would do me a deal, and he would kind of, you know, do it for half price, which was really good of him, and he would just spend a night editing this movie. And I was, you know, excited, and I was grateful. And they said the first thing I'm going to do is, he was like, you know, I'm a professional editor. I have to fit this in between the jobs I'm getting paid for, because I'm kind of doing you a favor. And I was like, I understand that. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to transfer the footage onto DVD. And I'm going to look at the footage, and I'm going to let you know what I think of it, and all that kind of stuff. I was like, brilliant, this is great. I finally get the footage on DVD. I finally get to see every scene. I was excited. I was hoping that we're moving forward with the project, you know. So maybe like a week or something goes by, I get a phone call. It's like, oh, the footage is ready. Do you want to come collect it? It's like, cool. We met up, and he just had, like, you know, like, here's your DVDs. I'm not involved. This is a mess. He was like, there's like, you have like 3 or 4 hours of footage for a 10-minute film. You know how enough, you know, there's enough footage there for like a 20-minute film, but it's supposed to be a 10-minute film. And I was like, well, I thought it was 10 minutes. You know, I guess we overshot. I did kind of say that to you. He was like, oh, I didn't believe you. And all this kind of stuff. I was like, and he clearly didn't want to be involved in it. He said, what you do is go home, watch DVDs, and cut out the bits you don't need, and do what you call a paper edit, where you watch the film and you write down the little names and numbers, and then you can get back to me, and then we can see maybe if you kind of get the movie down to 10 minutes, I might edit it. It's like, okay. And I was just kind of going into summer, and around this time, the other girl I was dating broke up with me, and I went to Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival, and a lot of things going on. You know, again, unfortunately, kind of, and I work full time and I do other things, and unfortunately, kind of slipped by the wayside as these things tend to do. But I did get around to the paper. He also, there was no rush on him, like, because he had professional jobs lined up, so he was like, you know, take your time doing the paper edit, because, you know, he clearly was not eager or keen or in any rush to try to edit this mess. And so I kind of, I forgot this, so about I started the paper edit, but I just to go back a little bit, around that summer I was in Galway doing a stand-up comedy show, and one of the comedians in Galway is a guy called Kenny Gotham. And I was telling Kenny my troubles in getting the film edited. And at that stage, I was just setting up the first meeting with the editor, the professional editor. And he kind of said, look, if that doesn't work out, you know, get back to me. I do editing. I've done some stuff. And, you know, I'll probably be able to do it. It shouldn't be a big deal. And, you know, I'll do you a favor. And I was like, oh, cool, man. And so I'll just see how this goes. And so it didn't work out, professional editor. I also had all the other stuff going on in my personal life. I also knew that I needed to sit through all the footage, and it was very painful to watch the footage. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of hard to see how bad it was, and just how bare bones, and how much work it would take to get this thing to look decent. And it was frustrating. It was tough, you know, and it wasn't the easiest thing to, like, figure out, okay, well, what needs to be cut, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. So it took a few months, you know, and I want to say maybe October, maybe, I got back to him. I got back to a professional art guy and said, look, I have the movie edited. I got down 10 minutes. This is my paper edit. You know, these are the things. Boom, 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 boom. Because one of the reasons you do a paper edit is when you go into the editing studio, you're not wasting time. So you're just, you know what you're cutting. It's Lego. You know, block A, block B, block C, block D. You're not wasting any time, because time is money in the editing studio. And he never got back to me, which is cool. I understand. You know, he's a professional editor. He probably didn't want to bother my Mickey Mouse thing. So I kind of forgot what Kenny said to me, and that sounds bad, but I just did, and I kind of was a bit dejected again. I was just trying to, and I also had some other stuff going on as per usual, and I was just trying to get through things, and I don't know, it just flashed back to me. It's like, dang, I remember Kenny said he would edit the movie if I was stuck, and I think maybe late November I got in touch with him, I was like, so Kenny Murray was saying about the movie and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, send the footage down. But like, I'm moving house in a minute and then we got Christmas. So, you know, it's going to be a while and it sounds like a lot of work. And I was like, yeah, man, it is. So Kenny lived in Galway. And again, that's an hour and a half away. So I posted him the footage. I sent him down the paper edit. I sent him, you know, the script and, you know, doing all the details and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like, Kenny did a great job on the movie. So that kind of brings us about like January 2013. And about January 2013, this year, Kenny Gallen kind of started editing the movie, because like you said, he was moving house and Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And he started, you know, really getting into it. And you know, it was a challenge. You know, there was a lot of footage to cut through and it wasn't easy, and you know, things weren't shot for it, and the audio sometimes came out badly, and you know, he was working on it. But so I started organizing comedy shows in Mullingar in January 2013, and the last show was in April 2013, and I had asked Kenny and some of the guys from Galway to come down, and although it was not officially said, it was kind of implied in Hofford that by like April the movie will be edited and Kenny could bring me down a copy, and you know, we can kind of like, you know, like, yeah. So it wasn't you know, set in stone, but it was kind of like, maybe, you know, maybe April we're done, and that's what I was kind of hoping for. So we're kind of rolling on, and Kenny's in touch now again, and maybe about March he sends me kind of like his you know, first cut of the movie, and it looked really good, and he did a really good job on it, and I just gave him a few notes, and you know, he just moved the furniture around a couple of things, and it's been a really long, hard process to get it up to that level. And you know, Ian add the notes that I had, a few notes that I had, just little changes here and there. It was a lot of work, and you know, very grateful for Kenny for doing it, and very grateful for Kenny to kind of like, Ian, you know, doing that extra work on top of what you already did. And you know, thank God, you know, late April 2013, Kenny, you know, he gave me the copy of the movie, and I finally got to see it. And you know, unfortunately, this time, a really bad personal thing had kind of gone on with a friend of mine, and it was pretty tough, and I was pretty down, and the Mullingar shows hadn't gone well. And I was very kind of isolated and alone, and still, you know, the thing with my friend isn't really resolved, and it's been pretty hard. But I got the movie, and I was happy about it, and you know, finally getting to see and everything was exciting. It was nice, but you know, there were, you know, it is what it is, kind of type thing, you know. And after all that time, I was just relieved to have it done. And I don't really know if it's good or bad, because I can't tell, because it's been so long, and I watched the footage so many times, and taking so long to get done, there's so many rolling obstacles. So this is kind of, so I made the movie and brought my friends over to watch it and stuff like that, and I didn't put it on YouTube straight away. I kind of waited, and then, like I said, things have been pretty tough. And one Sunday night I decided to cheer myself up, and I loaded the film up on YouTube, and I created a Facebook page. And Niamh Algar and Dara, the two actors in the movie, I hadn't really been in touch with them during 2 years, because I was embarrassed, because you know, the movie was taking so long. And now and again, they would message me and say, like, hey, how's the film going? And I'd be honest with them, it was like, you know, it's not going well, and I don't know if it's ever going to get done. And I was embarrassed, and to be honest with you, it's been almost two years, April 2013. We shot the movie in August 2011. I was kind of embarrassed how long it took, and I didn't know what to tell them, I didn't know what to say, and I also thought they kind of moved on. I didn't think they really cared, which is completely understandable. So, you know, and then also, like, I was just, you know, upset and just wanted something to do, and I was just like, I'm just going to load up the film, I'm going to print a Facebook page, and I'm going to put it out there, and you know, hopefully people will like it, and you know, get a few comments, and you know, just a bit of support, morale boost. And so I put the film on YouTube, I put it to Facebook page, I launched it Sunday night, I want to say about 8 o'clock, it's very important. And I tag everybody who's involved in the film. So from Chris and Dara and Eve and, you know, everybody else, Amy and the cameraman, and you know, and you know, I'm getting messages, and it's like, oh, it's really cool, well done, blah, blah. And so half an hour after the movie came up, Niamh Algar, the star, Dara, Astrid herself, sent me this lovely message. Okay, hi John. I'm reading from her Facebook messages at this stage, so you might hear a few clicks, just to clarify. Hi John, my agent. Well, that's a lot of shite, because she doesn't have an agent. But anyway, we'll get into that. Hi John, my agent had just rang me in relation to the recent page DTA. She didn't put full stops in. Oh, I'm in the middle of a project. No, you're not. And I can't allow images, videos, shot, short, Well, hang on. I can't allow images, video short. Well, that's not a word, but anyway. Short that badly represent me as an actor online. Can you please remove DTA from the internet? I did not sign a release form allowing the material to be publicly posted. So that's wonderful. That was lovely. It's fantastic after all the hard work and effort it took to edit the movie, along with all the hard work and effort I put in to get the movie made, that she was unhappy with her performance, thus feeling that the whole film should be taken down. What a wonderful person she is. Now, just to clarify a couple things she said in the message, first of all, she doesn't have an agent. She's not in the middle of any projects because she's not a good actress and nobody will hire her, and she's delusional. And as it comes to release form, yes, technically nobody in the film signed a release form, and maybe some people would argue that is an issue. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. My argument to that is that I posted up online looking for actors. They bought audition for it, they bought read the script, they bought told me the script was brilliant. They all told me they really want to be in it. They were really excited to be in it. When they would ask me what were my plans for films, I was very honest with them. I said, I just want to make a film. This is all I want to do, and I just want to make a short film, and I just want to put it on the internet. That's it. I just want to put it on YouTube. And they were the ones, oh, this film's so good, this script's so good, you should put it on festivals, you should do this. They didn't give a shit about me. They just wanted to further their own career. But anyway, well, maybe not Dara. Just talk more about Neve now. Sorry, so I'll leave Dara out of this. So from day one they knew that the film was going to be posted online, because I told them, since I'm going to put this on YouTube, my friend's going to look at it, and that's probably going to be it, and that's all it is. And that's fine, that's all it was ever meant to be. And delusions of going to film festivals and winning awards and all this kind of stuff, they were their delusions, not mine. Basically, I kind of knew, I was 50-50 on Neve because of the way she's acted on set. I thought maybe, maybe I took it the wrong way, maybe she isn't so bad, but this message just like clearly, proved her true colors. So I didn't respond to it because it's all bullshit. She doesn't have an agent. There's nothing she can do to me. Yeah, she didn't sign a release form, but she did agree to be in the movie. We had a verbal contract. There's also video footage from her audition where me and her, we were just shooting the audition and me and her were just talking. And she asked me, what was I going to do with the film? So I'm going to put it online. She's like, oh, that's really cool, YouTube, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much more like evidence you need that she was completely aware of the fact that it was going to be put online. I mean, I don't know what she thought we were going to do with the film. Put on Airtel? I don't know. She seemed to be a bit confused. Well, she was confused during the whole making of the film. So I guess the post-production process probably confused her even more. So I ignored her message. Now, truthfully, honestly, Dara sent me a similar message after this. It wasn't as strongly worded as this, and it was a bit nicer. And I have a lot more time for Dara, because I think he's a good kid, and his heart's in the right place. And clearly, Neve had messaged him, because he repeated some of the things about release form and stuff like that. And clearly, she had gotten into his head about, like, this will ruin your career and stuff like this, which is complete nonsense. Now, again, particularly Dara, I don't think his performance is that bad, but I can't think of any instance where the actors want to, like, I'll get into that in a second. So that message was sent to half A. I ignored it from Neve, and I was talking to Dara because I have a bit more time for him. So about 20 past 9, I got another lovely message from her. I see that you have seen the previous message and have ignored to remove the page or tags. I understand, as a fellow performer, you hope that people respect you for the work you produce. The project's work is not one that I respect, nor am I proud of. If you refuse to, I will be seeking advice from the Irish Actors Guild, who are entitled to seek legal advice. As being a member, I, as an artist, have the right to prevent my image from being used if I do not wish to have it publicized. Please remove the video immediately before I take further action. It was so wonderful. So let's pick apart this. I see there's, so I ignored her message. I understand, as a fellow performer, you hope that people respect you for the work you produce. Well, yes. But if you're not happy with your performance, and at no stage in your message, you're referencing my script or my directing, you're basically talking about your acting ability, surely that's your problem. If you're not a good actress, that's your issue. Maybe you shouldn't audition. Maybe you shouldn't be an actress. You had the lead role. You didn't know your lines. You were all over the place. You didn't understand context. You didn't take direction. You had this really high opinion of yourself. You tried to direct a movie, which you couldn't, the fucking script. You blew the big scene at the end. I mean, I could kind of go on about the ways you kind of wrecked the movie, but you don't see me, trying to edit you out of the film, which I actually had to do with the speech at the end because it was so bad. But no, I tried to make the best of what I was given, and I think, given the shit performance that you did, I edited it, or Kenny edited it, sorry, to to make it look okay. And if you're not happy with your performance, that's your problem. You know, no stage are you referencing, you know, my directing or my writing or my Kenny's editing or anything like this. You're specifically talking about your acting performance. And if you're not happy with that, that's your fault. You were given every opportunity to fucking act the best in the world. You were given the whole big speech at the end. You're given numerous key scenes. You were given context. You know, there's not a lot of good roles for female actress, particularly young female actress. This was designed for like a young female actress to be the stereotypical girlfriend role at the beginning of the movie and then become the other villain at the end. It was a great opportunity. You fucked it up by not knowing what your lines, which is seen the most basic thing an actress would need to know. But you're trying to like be like, oh, I don't want this to be good. I don't want this to be out there. If you don't like what you did, then you should have done better, period. And you can't expect other people to take down work that they put in just because you're not happy with it. You know, her contribution to this movie was 2 days. My contribution to this movie was 2 years and almost €1,000. So she can like go fuck herself, basically. But in the meantime, I'm getting messages from Dara. And like I say, I have a lot more time for him. And I was trying to talk him down. I was trying to like, you know, it's not that bad. I think you're overreacting. This won't go anywhere. You know, this will just be on the internet. This will just be my friends. Very few people are going to see it. I think you're overreacting. And I was trying to talk the kid down. So that message came at 9:30. But like 5 minutes later, I did respond to her. Okay, here's what I said. Thanks, Steve. I was trying to say I got work in the morning, so I'm going to bed, which I didn't come out too well. I'm going to be got work in the morning. I meant I'm going to bed because I got work in the morning. But anyway, okay. Get your agent to get in contact with me tomorrow and we discuss it then. Thanks again for your support. I was being sarcastic. Meant to say going to bed and work in the morning. Good night. There we go. Okay, then Neve, 5 minutes later, sent me back an opportunity, and this is where it gets really cunty. So, at this point, it's obvious her and Dara are talking, because she's now referencing things that I basically said to Dara, because, you know, I wasn't talking to her. So they're obviously both kind of in on this. I understand that you're proud of this. This is Neve now. This is her message 5 minutes later. I understand you're proud of this, and if you spent the past 2 years trying to edit it. And I discussed this with Dara, so she was obviously in on it with him. However, if both actors are unhappy with the film, it's only fair to have it removed. Please know that nothing was signed to have it published online. If you knew anything about this industry, whoa, you would understand that release forms from the artists are required. Acting is my career, and I cannot afford to allow student shorts ruining my chances. And yes, I can arrange for my agent to contact you tomorrow. What is your email or number? Well, who's a cunt? She is. She would really begin to piss me off now at this stage. You gotta remember, I was a very bad place this time, and you know, finally getting this movie was, you know, a weight off my back. And I just put it on the internet just to kind of cheer myself up a little bit. And I kind of hope that, you know, that the, you know, people will be like, you know, that's nice, that's good. They have both actors kind of come at me, and this is getting on for 10 o'clock at night, and I got work tomorrow, and I gotta deal with this shit. You know, it's just really annoying, and it's really beginning to piss me off. But also some of the things she said here. If both actors are unhappy with the film, it's only fair to have it removed. No, it's not really. If Johnny Depp and Arnie Hammer don't like their new film, The Lone Ranger, should we destroy a $200 million movie because they weren't happy with the performance? No, that's really egotistical. And again, if you're not happy with your performance, then that's your problem. Or if you're not happy with the film in general, then like, it doesn't make any sense. You don't really have, and you know, please know that nothing was signed to have it published online. Well, no, but nothing was signed, period, and you knew full well it was going to publish online. I'd gladly go to court over there, you know, that's fine, I don't give a shit. But it's all bullshit because she doesn't have an agent, she doesn't have a lawyer. This is just her trying to sound threatening and all this kind of stuff. And this, if you knew anything about this industry, wow, who knew Neve Algar is the standard bearer of the Irish acting industry. She's the standard, God help us. You understand, release forms for the Irish are fired. Well, you know, and acting is my career. Well, you're going to be unemployed, love, so sorry about that. Hope you didn't buy a house. And I cannot afford to allow student shorts ruining my chances. That's kind of funny, like, you're being derogatory to me there, you know, my hard work and my effort, by saying it's a student short. But you were so keen to be in it, you know, you were begging me to be in it, and you were jumping up and down and telling me how great it was and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of weird that now it's a student short. Anyway, ruining my chances. Well, I don't think this will ruin your chances. I think the fact that you can't act and you're a delusional cunt will probably be the thing that would ruin your chance more than anything. I mean, gotta be honest. And yes, I can arrange for my agent to contact me. Well, what is your email number? Well, I'm not going to give this mental chaos my phone number. So I give them my general email address. One of them, I have like three. You can contact me via your email on awfullycomedyoffend@yahoo.ie. Excuse me. She responded 2 minutes later, "Do you have direct mail?" I said, "I'm not a student. I work full time. If you're not happy with directing, whose fault is that? Bye." And that was it for me. Just like getting on with 10 o'clock now. She responded by, "Thank you for your cooperation. My agent will be in contact with you. Please provide an email or the agency will contact the Telemore Comedy Club directly. Oh, and queries will no doubt be forwarded on to you." So this was the 12th of May, sorry. It is now the 7th of August. And that is my general email address. That is the correct one. I checked it daily. And there's no mention of her agent. And I never heard from her again. And so yeah, what a cunt. I mean, really, I wouldn't tell anybody to avoid working with her. This is her attitude. She's egotistical, she's delusional. I don't quite understand how somebody can claim to be an actress and not know your lines. That just seems mental to me. Just thinking then try to get the movie shut down because you're not happy with your performance. Again, you know, that's your responsibility. But so yeah, I hope I never see you again. I hope I never think you do again. I assume her career is going to stay in the toilet. I mean, look, I have no delusions about what my film career would be. I don't want a film career. I just wanted to make a short film, and I did. That's it. That's not a bad thing, you know. Having, you know, small goals or having realistic goals is not a bad thing, you know. She clearly has delusional goals and thinks she's this amazing actress that doesn't have to learn her lines and can just walk in. And I mean, I don't know if this is her attitude in all films, that she's like, well, if I don't like the film, I'm just going to get pulled, right? You know, I don't know if that's what she thinks what it is. Well, it's about 10 o'clock Sunday night, and in the meantime, I'm talking to Dara. And like I say, I'm trying to be cool with it. I'm trying to, like, look, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, man, I can't cut this down. And, you know, I think you're overreacting. This isn't going to go anywhere, and it hasn't, you know, and it won't. That's just the way it is. And I knew that going in, it's not what I wanted to do. But he was getting very upset, and he was getting very. Beginning to piss me off. Again, he was talking about the legal thing, so I just sent like a big message saying, look, if you guys want to come after me, I'll come after you. And you guys can bring me to court and do what you want. But when word gets out that two of the actors from a film trying to get the film pulled because they're not happy about the acting, that'll do far more damage to your career than anything else. And I have the exact message there. I'll go for it word for word because I might as well. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. So this is the message sent there. Neve has clearly filled your head with this copyright legal shit. I'm sorry it's turned to this, and needless to say that if you guys are not happy with acting in the film, that's surely your problem. You guys worked 2 days in this film, I worked 2 years. You both answered and noticed an audition to be in the film. You're both more than happy to do it. At the time, the first question you both asked is what my plans for the film. There and then I told you I would put it on YouTube, which is true. There was no objection from either of you. You're both more than happy with that, and you two were telling me to enter into film festivals as well. That's a favorable agreement. There were witnesses to you guys saying that. Hell, I think I still have Nee's audition footage where she acts on camera about it. I look for it at the weekend, as I work full time and don't have time to deal with this shit. If you guys seek legal action, it will take time, and that time the film will still be online. In the meantime, it will be a case of closing the stable door after the horses have run. If both of you distance yourself from the project, that's fine. Needless to say, I'm disappointed in yours and Nee's behaviour. Acting this unprofessional will do more damage to your career than anything else. From now on, don't contact me, only through Neves. In inverted commas, agent, sarcastically, goodbye. And, you know, like Dara's a good kid, and he got sidetracked by her. And basically, Dara sent a message next day and said, look, man, you're right, I'm really sorry. She got my head and does everything, I'm really sorry. And he's a good kid, so I don't hold it against him. And I do think he acted well in the film. He could act better, but I think he did well. He was a young guy. And so that's, you know, I would have all the, I would have time to Dara, you know. I think he's a good kid, he's going to do well, and I hope people don't take this part to heart about him for me, definitely, but not about him, because he's a good kid and he just kind of got confused. And he did apologize, and you know, we agreed to, you know, distance him and her from the project, and that's fine. So here we are, 7th of August. I mean, just to kind of wrap it up after this amazing exchange, which made me feel so great, I then contact the Awfully Film Board again, because, you know, I live in hope, So I contacted the Ottawa Film Board again and said, look, I finished this film 2 years, all this kind of stuff. I said, look, could you guys help me? You know, what do I do next? You know, how do I put it into film festivals? What, where do I go with this? You know, and you know, they kind of messaged back saying, you know, I'm trying to, not really much advice to be fair, and that was kind of it. They just kind of told me, they started telling me about other films that are going to be filmed in awfully soon, and like other short films and stuff that I should try to get on the set and stuff, which is fair, you know. And I would say to anybody who, if you generally want a job in the film industry or the TV industry or production industry, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to be a runner on a film set, you have to, you know, the TV sets, you have to hang around, you have to do all that kind of stuff just to get the ins and outs and get the experience. That's not my goal, you know. My goal was to make this short film, and I made it. Maybe I'll make another one, maybe I won't, who knows. But if I do make another one, it'll be the same thing again. It's not delusions of going to Hollywood, going to LA, or being a filmmaker, right? It's kind of nonsense. It's just about telling stories, and that's all it is, you know. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Some people get mad when I say that, you know. Some people are very nice. They're like, oh, the film's really good, you should keep going, you should make more and stuff like that. And that's great, you know, it's really nice to hear and everything, but it's not an easy process, and it's a long process, and you have to be 100% sure that you want to tell the story, because it's going to take time, and it's not going to go as well as you hope, and things are going to go wrong, and shit's going to go south, and you're probably going to lose a bunch of friends over it as these things tend to happen. But that's the name of the game, and it's not going to go anywhere. You know, DTA currently sits on YouTube. I think we have a couple of hundred views. We are ironically going to have an article in the Midland Art magazine, courtesy of the Offie Film Board, which is great. You know, fair play to them in the end, they did kind of give us a hand, and hopefully that will help get publicity of the film. We are currently entered in the offline film festival, and I'm trying to get into other film festivals, but again, you know, I'm not 100% sure how to do that. A lot of it seems to be about money, you know. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of admission costs and stuff like this, and you're kind of like, well, I'm paying you guys to look at my film and then tell me if my film's going to be in a competition. I don't know. It seems like more of a money making racket than anything else. So like I say, I'm happy with the film just, you know, being what it is, and I have the DVD, and you know, 10 years from now, you know, if I never make another thing or never do anything again, I'm going to turn around, there's the DVD, look, there it is, I made this, you know. And that's all it's about, and that's all it's been about, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that goal. I don't think there's anything wrong with that period. You know, some people disagree. I'm trying to think of ending this on a happier note. But no, look, I am ultimately happy to have the film done. You know, please keep an eye out on the DTA page, and please check us out on the blah 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 podcast, and add us on Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and keep up to date with the shit that's going on. And for the people that watched it and liked it, thanks very much. And people take time to listen to this podcast, thank you very much. And the other podcast, I know it's kind of gone on a bit, but for me, this is, you know, if nobody listens to this, which is probably more than likely, it's just about burying this once for all. It's just about like putting all the crap and all the shit that happened, you know. And like I said, I feel kind of bad about some of the stuff towards the end there. Dara's a good kid. Please don't take anything away from anybody that might be listening to this. He's a good kid. You know, he can act, and you know, don't judge him on DTA. Don't judge him until, you know, what I said here. You know, he is a good kid. His heart's in the right place. Neve, on the other hand, she can go fuck herself. Clear as day on that one. I don't really want to leave it there. But all the people that helped, you know, getting the movie made, Chris Turrell and all my friends, and you know, the people I can't think of their names right now, and you know, Barry was there, and you know, and everybody that helped out, Shane, and you know, Parik was there, and you know, Ken Colton read the script and said, you should, the guy at the end, he kills the guy, but why did he kill the guy? It was like, oh yeah, that's right, that does actually make sense, you shouldn't do that. That makes sense if you read the first draft of the script. Doesn't make any sense now, but he was right about that. So fair play to Kenny on that one. And you know, massive thanks to Kenny Gollum, you know, who really went through the shit to get that film looking as halfway decent as it looks. He had to cut and cut, and you know, it wasn't easy, it wasn't well directed, I'll be the first to admit it. You know, the actors themselves didn't like it, they tried to sue me, so you know, it wasn't well acted. So fair play to Kenny, by two main actors. I think everybody else is great, and I personally think Dara did a good job. Neve could have done better, as we can discuss, but you know, I don't know, the whole, I was happy with everybody's performance barring Neve's. So you know, a big massive thank you to Kenny Gallen, a big massive thank you to everybody that listened, and everybody's kind of been nice and supportive about the film, and like I say, add us on Facebook, keep an eye on things that are coming up and stuff like that, and we hope to kind of be back for more podcasts and more of that kind of shit and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for listening. See you on the other side.